people who add value to others do so intentionally. I say that because to add value, leaders must give of themselves. And that rarely occurs by accident. John Maxwell. Well, hello and welcome back to the Seek and Enjoy podcast, where we discuss the dynamic between your everyday jobs and your hobbies and passions. My name is Josh, and I am joined today by a very special guest, Andrew Youngblood. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Josh. Super excited to be here with you today.
Absolutely. Glad to have you, bud. So Andrew and his wife over the last many years have been, for lack of a better word, would you say you guys are missionaries?
Yeah, that's how we are kind of classified, at least in our minds and in our denomination, yeah.
Got it. So you guys, y'all are part of the Chi Alpha student ministry at Texas Christian University, TCU, here in Fort Worth.
Yep. Yeah. And Chi Alpha, for your listeners, on over 300 campuses, a missions movement, student ministry to on over 300 campuses in the U.S. and even some kind of under different names all around the world. So yeah, there's some. If you're a Texan, there's UT, there's Texas A&M, UNT, you know, Angelo State, you know, out in San Angelo where I grew up, and TCU. So we're all over the country, making disciples on the college campus and building relationships and then sending out. You know, nationally, Chi Alpha has this kind of the motto is transforming the university, the marketplace, and the world. And so we're sending out our alumni all over the marketplace, all over the country, and all over the world. So yeah, we love Chi Alpha. We've been here at TCU we just finished our eighth academic year.
Wow!
So it's been a blast.
That's a long time. And so, like from what I understand in listening to your podcast, okay, so we'll get to that here in a little bit, but Andrew also has a podcast called the Campus Ministry Leadership Podcast. Actually, yeah. You are a leader helping create more leaders,
yeah.
Which is a task in itself, really, first of all, to be able to lead students and other people to Christ, but to lead people on how to do that.
Yeah,
so that's extraordinary. But what I was going to get at is that on your podcast that I listened to, you have mentioned that it's not always that easy to be in that sort of ministry for that long a period of time as you guys have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember what the average kind of tenure on a campus is for our movement, but I know that there's a lot of turnover in the campus ministry space. Part of that's like for a lot of people, it might be a stepping stone. Okay, we're going to do this college, you know, university ministry, and then move on, you know, on to either being a senior pastor at a church or that kind of thing. So there's a view of longevity, but then also it can be difficult work, but for us, Alicia and I anyway, it's super rewarding, you know, to see students not only, you know, learn to follow Jesus and learn how to walk with Jesus, but then also just develop them as leaders and be able to be a resource to them, mentor to them, and send them into the marketplace to not only be just like ethical, good leaders in the marketplace, but also share their faith with others. But yeah, there's challenges that come with that. But for us, we found it to be worth it. All of the things that we've faced that have been difficult have made us better Christians, better people. And so those challenges we look at and look back with mostly a gratitude than just a bitterness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I was going to ask you about what kind of challenges you face. And of course, without trying to get too far deep into it, because I know it's tough. It really is to, first of all, to get people to believe in what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then to believe in the word of God. I think those are two separate things. Like, first of all, do I believe what Andrew has to say?
Yeah.
And do I believe that you're an authority here and versus, okay, well, on top of that, do I believe that Jesus is the authority?
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's a big piece of it. Right. So if you were to look at the research, the United States is becoming an increasingly post-Christian nation. So people would say it's already past that boundary. And in certain areas of the country, it absolutely has, you know, the coasts and that kind of thing. But and so the message of Jesus, the person of Jesus, not all that popular necessarily.
Right.
And then there's students, you know, that are coming in and it's like, listen, I might believe in Jesus or I might believe in Christian faith, but I'm not here to think about that right now. I'm here to build my resume and get a good GPA and have a lot of fun.
And, right.
And so they maybe have a perspective of Christianity that's not all that fun. But when you talk about, you know, the two different things, believing what I have to say versus believing, you know, the gospel, believing in what scriptures teaches and who Jesus is, that's absolutely true. Like, we have to win people's hearts just as people. We have to make friends before we have the authority to speak into their lives. It's, I think John Maxwell puts it this way, where he says, like, they have to, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you have to demonstrate that through friendship and mentorship and earning a right to be heard in their lives. And that can be a challenge when you're 35 and right. A student is 18 and wandering around on this campus. And it's like, why do I need to listen to this old guy? But when we do, when we break through, and then especially when our leaders, like our students, fight to build relationships, it's a lot easier when they're doing it than us. But we built this from the ground up, man. When we came, there was only one student involved in our ministry, so it's basically a repioneering effort. So early on, in the early years, it was us just like showing up in the cafeteria as a 28-year-old guy and being like, hey, you want to join my small group? You want to study the Bible together? And so you get a lot of weird looks, but the students that have bought in and have done it, man, it's been a transforming experience for them. So it's super rewarding.
Wow, that's incredible. So what does that look like on your day to day? Like you say, like you have to go like make friends with people. Do you just like just walk up and talk to random people, or do you like pass out flyers, or like what does that entail?
Yeah, early on, it was a lot of, I mean, you think about an entrepreneur that's going out and doing cold calls and shaking hands and just meeting people and networking. It was a lot like that, only just trying to build relationships with students at just different places on campus. We have some freedom on campus to like set up an information table and like maybe hand out free stuff or, you know, just engage with people in conversation, which is great. I mean, students can stop by. And then we also have like, what's great is now, you know, through the years, we have student small group leaders that are leading these Bible studies that meet every week. And so those students are meeting people on campus or in their classes or in their dorms or in their major they're inviting them into those Bible studies. So that's a lot easier to do than it was in the early days.
Right.
But week to week, yeah. Week to week for us, man, like we're on campus, we're meeting students, we're investing in the students that we already have, we're teaching them how to walk with Jesus, how to kind of implement their faith in their everyday life, and then helping them understand how to do that with their peers. We're mentoring them in a lot of different areas of their life. You know, college for some people is an incredible challenge, so there's relational difficulties, there's crisis of faith, there's family crisis, there's all this stuff, and so we're able to be there to kind of walk with them through that as a mentor, as a friend, as a coach, and so a lot of our week is just highly relational. And then we also do, like you would think with a church or something, we do worship services once a month where students are, you know, helping lead worship and we're preaching and that kind of thing. But kind of the bread and butter, the heart of what we do is that relational, studying scripture together, learning what it looks like to live life together in the kingdom of God, and then also, you know, bring others along and follow Jesus together.
Wow. That's awesome, man. So like, my next question would have been like, how did you get into student ministry as a career? So like for you, a lot of missionaries will describe what they feel as like a calling, like, okay, this is what I'm meant to do with my life. So for you, like, what was that like? Or how did you set down like, okay, I'm not going to do any of these other things with my life. This is what I want.
Yeah, that's a great question, man. So I grew up in church, and so I understood that they're pastors and missionaries and that kind of thing. But my heart, man, I didn't want anything to do with God from about junior high until even all the way through college. But because I grew up in a religious home, man, my parents made me go to church. Right. So I still had to be there. So I was going, but man, my heart wasn't in it. I wasn't interested in following Jesus really at all. But while I was in college, because I kind of had to go, I got involved in the Chi Alpha that was at Angelo State University in San Angelo, Texas, out in West Texas. And I had a guy that was a campus pastor there. His name was Lennon Noland. And man, he just fought for relationship with me. He loved me well. I was very hard on him as a college student and as a friend. Like, I was fickle and selfish and prideful. But man, he showed me he taught us about Jesus, but he showed us what the love of Jesus was like. And so even though I didn't begin to follow Christ during my time in college, I remembered that relationship. And then a couple years after I graduated college, or a few actually, I met my wife. I kind of actually did come to a moment where I was like, okay, I really do want to follow Jesus. And when I kind of came to that crisis moment, I remembered Lennon, and I remembered what he'd done for me and how he'd seemed to really live out what he said he believed. And so it was kind of a cool moment to realize how much he invested in me. And so I began to follow Christ and actually do it for real, and ended up meeting my wife, who she's 4 years younger than me, but she was involved in that same Chi Alpha. Her story's totally different than mine. She actually walked with Jesus from the time she was a young girl. So she's the opposite. But her life was transformed by campus ministry in Chi Alpha. And so we met, and we dated for about 8 months, and then we were engaged for about 8 months. And I had worked in information technology, so I was an IT guy, system administrator, or worked my way kind of up the chain as a help desk guy, PC tech, for 5 years through college, and then 4 years after that as a system administrator, and at the local police department for 4 years. And so as we were, I was in that vein. I was not really thinking about going into ministry, really, but when Alicia and I, right before we got married, we were just praying, like, hey, we want to just be really open-handed. God, whatever it is that you would want us to do, we'd be willing to do. And this opportunity opened up at TCU to be Chi Alpha pastors, to be missionaries to this campus. And as we thought about it and prayed about it, we really felt like, because both of our lives were transformed by the ministry of Chi Alpha, we really sense like this is where God's moving us to reach the Andrews, to be like Lennon was for me and fight for a relationship with students and the Alicias that were already ready to go, right, but just needed to be engaged to make disciples and reach their friends. So that's kind of the process that we went through of just like, we were just praying and really sensed like, hey, both of us were really impacted by this. Why not go do that as well? And so we started down that journey of kind of restarting Chi Alpha here at TCU.
Wow. And so for you guys, I mean, like you were saying, a lot of that has been ingrained into your relationship and into your marriage. And I'm sure that you guys as spouses do work together, like at your Chi Alpha kind of job. But I mean, really, it's definitely as much of a passion as it is your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And we do have the privilege, and it's a rare privilege, and it is a privilege to be able to, that what we do is so directly connected to our passion, that what we're doing every day to day, like, and we don't take it for granted. It's not the same amount of money that we would have made had we been in the marketplace. It's not always the same kind of, prestige or that kind of thing, that we have. But man, every day that we step onto campus, we are actually living out the passion of our hearts, to connect with students and see them connect with Jesus. And so that's an incredible thing. And working with your spouse, man, it can be incredibly challenging at times, but also very rewarding. We've learned a lot about each other and how to appreciate one another, that kind of thing.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. Like, I get to spend a ton of time with my wife during the day and during the week. And that's really neat. And even as we've had a family, we have 3 kids now, we've been able to be pretty present in their lives as little kids because of just the flexibility of our schedule. So man, we're so honored to be able to do what we do. and absolutely passionate about our actual job, which is awesome.
That's amazing. So are there any other life lessons that you learned through just doing student ministry? I mean, aside from, I mean, it could still be religious, you know, or something that's related to God. But I mean, is there anything that just like on the nose, like a life lesson that you guys have learned?
Man, that's a good question. Here's what I'll say. Like, I'm really seeing and experiencing that because of where we are and where we work, that the people who are shaping the trajectory of our nation are studying on our campuses right now. You know, like the quality and the direction of our country is going to be shaped by the students in the classes at TCU and all over the nation. And for anybody who's listening, that if you can take someone at that age, either high school or college, take them under your wing, teach them a lot of skills that maybe they don't know, you know, even silly things like time management or task like scheduling and you know, how to prioritize things just be in relationship, be a mentor to them. You can change a family tree. You know, if you can take the privilege and the things that you've experienced and pass that on to someone, it doesn't just affect that person, but it affects their future marriage, their future kids. You know, it takes some selflessness and it takes some intentionality. And young people aren't always great at relationship and great at not being selfish, but it's right. it's such a fruitful thing, and it's such a rewarding thing. And the interesting thing is that it also is going to help my kids. You know, because of the nature of investing in the next generation, the following generation is going to be shaped by what we did for these kids. So I think it's just super important to develop and invest in young leaders and the people that are going to shape the world. That's whether awesome. That's in a Christian way or whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be all about the Bible if that's not what you're into, but just making sure that you're passing on the good lessons and the good things that you know to invest in them.
Right, to be a great mentor to somebody. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for talking to us about your campus ministry, Andrew. We're going to take a moment to hear a word from our sponsor, and we'll come back to talk about your hobbies and passions. Okay, and we're back with Andrew Youngblood. We are going to talk a little bit about your hobby, which is podcasting. Just like me, I started the Seek and Enjoy podcast as a hobby, mm-hmm. as something to do, aside from like as if I needed another hobby. But but I think so. On the topic of leadership, and that's kind of what your podcast is about, Andrew. Mm-hmm. But I was going to tell you a quick story about that. This past year, I was invited to be a part of the Cornerstone Leadership Academy through my credit union. Okay. And so what that means is that we basically, it was a 10-month program where we put together a project and present it in front of a bunch of industry-leading CEOs in our area. Mm. And so that was daunting.
Yeah.
but we got to learn a lot. Like we did these CEO lunch and learns. And I always thought it was really cool for us to kind of sit down and have Q&A with the CEOs from credit unions, mm-hmm. in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But also there was a required reading for us. We had two books we had to read. One was The 5 Levels of Leadership by John Maxwell, mm-hmm. who you talked about a little bit earlier. But the other one was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, by Stephen Covey. And something that I was thinking about in going into talking about podcasts in general, like we said, it's a little bit meta to talk about a podcast on a podcast, but that's okay. We're going to do that today. So if you guys don't want to hear us talk about a podcast on a podcast, you can just hit the next episode, but this is going to be fun. So I really started thinking about In the 7 Habits, and I've got it right here in front of me. So I'm just going to read you a little bit about it. At the last habit number 7, is called sharpen the saw. So Stephen Covey basically talks about doing things to make yourself a better person. Mm-hmm. And there's 4 dimensions of renewal that he talks about. one of which is physical renewal, so things like exercise, nutrition, and stress management. There's mental renewal, like reading, visualizing, planning, and writing. And then you've got social and emotional renewal, which is like service, empathy, synergy, and intrinsic security. And then there's spiritual renewal, so like value, clarification, and commitment, things like study and meditation.
Yeah.
So, like, and thinking of those four dimensions of renewal, aside from physical, because I mean, podcasting, it, let's face it, isn't very a physical thing. But I think that podcasting really checks those three other boxes: the mental, because you've got to plan and write things for like an episode. Definitely the social aspect, getting to talk to like you and other guests that we've had here on the podcast. It really checks that box for us. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I think a lot of like the takeaways in some point become that spiritual renewal of like a value clarification, a commitment, or a meditation, like thinking really hard about the takeaways. And so like in your podcast, the Campus Ministry Leadership Podcast, which is available on Spotify, Andrew talks about his first passion, which is his work on student ministry. But as a hobby, you like to do this podcast, and I forgot where I was going to go with that, but basically that it does that for you. I mean, do you think that it kind of checks those boxes?
Yeah, it does. And that's I love that book. Stephen Covey's book is great. A recommended read for anybody that wants to grow. But yeah, I think it does that. Yeah. Mental, social, with the exception of a few episodes, I've always had a co-host, and most of our episodes are interview style. And then there's the spiritual element, even kind of mixed in there for us as it is a ministry podcast as well. So absolutely, it checks those boxes and keeps us sharp. One of the reasons that we started the podcast, or one of the story behind the podcast is really long, but basically my boss asked me to be a part of this podcast. He was leading 16 different campuses, or he was kind of overseeing 16 different campuses in the state, and he wanted to invest in the leaders in our area. And so he's like, "Hey man, do you want to do this podcast with me?" And primarily asked me because I studied radio and television in college, and so I had some, I never had used it ever. So we started this podcast. So we started it, and so I was doing mostly the tech stuff and that kind of thing. But one of the things that was really interesting is through the course of my ministry and leadership, I always take an opportunity to, if there's like a leader that's further along in me. So you said you had these Q&A times with these CEOs during your leadership program. Well, if there was a campus pastor or a leader that was further along than me in their journey, and they needed to be taken to the airport, or they needed to be driven to go get something, you know, we're at a conference or something like that, I'm like, I'm in, you know, count me in for that, because I want to sit down in the car with them. I have a captive audience, right? So I'm going to drive you 30, 45 minutes to the airport, and I'm going to ask this leader as many questions as possible. I'm going to learn as much as I can because they're further along than me. And so it was kind of like, what a cool opportunity to start a podcast like this that basically lets other people like me who are starting, or, you know, in the learning process, not super far along, to get in the car with us and hear the kind of questions and the things that these people are the wisdom that they have. And so that kind of in my mind was like, our listeners are jumping in the car with me as I'm taking this leader to the airport and asking them about the things that they've learned and the things that they know that I don't know yet and I really need. And so, yeah, it does kind of check some of those boxes, and it helps, like you said, sharpen the saw. Like, they have wisdom. If I can learn from their mistakes and their wins, then I can be further along in the next 10 years than they were after 15 to 20, because they're sharing those things with me and I'm sitting down and sharpening the saw rather than going at it with a dull saw, which takes so much longer, right?
Right. You can do it the hard way, or you can do, you know, go at it with what they, like he says in the book, start with the end in mind.
Right.
You know, I thought about in preparing for this, maybe just pulling out my notes, because I've got this whole binder of notes from those lunch and learns, because, like, you know, it's really hard to soak it all in. So, like, I just Absolutely. Took, like, furious notes on this, and I was like, maybe I could read it all. I was like, I don't think I have enough time to read it all, like, because I think we had, I want to say, 10 different CEOs sit down and have lunch with us. Now, the first couple before the pandemic, we're actually in person, so we got to spend a lot more time speaking with them and asking them, like, one-on-one questions, which is really awesome. But, like, beyond that, we did all of our classes through Zoom calls, and so it's a lot harder to get that. But, man, I think for anybody who is doing a job or is wanting to know more about your field of study or whatever it is that you're doing, definitely picking up a mentor, somebody who, like Andrew was saying, is more advanced in your craft than you are. So much can be learned from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the cool thing about podcasting and reading and all those things is that we can be mentored by wise people in our field and other fields, just by listening to other people's conversations with them or reading what they've written. So I have a bunch of mentors. You know, most of my mentors are actually dead,
right?
But I'm reading what they've written, and I have mentors all over the country that I'm listening to what they're saying and what they're learning to keep sharpening the saw, to keep, you know, getting better at what I'm doing.
For sure. And I think too, like, in the meta of us, like, being podcasters, like, I always feel like I wonder, like, okay, am I doing this because I know things? Like, no, absolutely not.
Right.
I'm doing this because I'm seeking and I want to know more about things. And so, I mean, aside from passions and hobbies, I feel like this has really kind of already for me evolved a little bit into finding life lessons through those passions and hobbies. So kind of that shift where, I mean, as fun as, like, the passions and the things that people are doing are, like, definitely, like, I think the life lessons earned through those, like, for example, fishing and patience, or you know, barbecuing, also still patience. I don't know. I think a lot of things are patience, but
yeah. Well, I mean, you had Brandon on, who's, you know, it's perseverance. It's keeping at it. Like, even when you're, I think he said, like, you know, my early stuff was so bad.
Yeah.
But I kept going. Like, you have to keep going. That grit, that perseverance, that's huge. That's a huge life lesson that applies to so many things. So, yeah, I love that.
And I think that's what he said, too, about, like, about the rapping career, was, like, that, you know, a lot of people didn't want to, like, hear him learning how to rap. And I think that's so much important with everything that we do in life. Like, you know, as a musician, no one's going to want to hear you learn how to play a saxophone. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Or watch you, you know, have a hard time with things that you're doing. But at the same time, some of those mentors that you have, they can see, like, hey, no, this is what you're doing wrong, or maybe this is what you're doing right, and you need to continue doing it that way.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So on your podcast, let's talk about that for a little bit. So I've listened to only a couple episodes. I'll be honest with you. I haven't listened to all of it because I feel that some or all of it may not pertain to me. But, I mean,
it's just 126 episodes, Josh. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's not like you just had a baby.
Right. Yeah. Get caught up. Yeah. Actually, we did just have our baby. So Gavin was born about 13 days ago, 14 days ago.
Yeah. Wow. So you're not sleeping at all.
Well, I'm sleeping more than I deserve, honestly. my wife is, Sarah has been doing most of the heavy lifting here, and I just try to, like, encourage her and help her as much as we can. But, I mean, it's great being a parent so far, man. It's just nuts. How much can you love somebody who's brand new to the world? And, like, how much do you want great things for those people?
Yeah, it's wild, dude. It's the best thing outside of marriage, and, you know, for me as a Christian, my relationship with God, like, it's the best. It's the best thing.
Yeah, man.
So, and podcasts have been a huge thing for me, especially, I mean, just generally speaking, I'm kind of a nerd, and I like the format of podcasts that I could I can be washing the dishes and listening and learning something. I can be driving to and from work and learning something. I can be on a run and learning something and ingesting good content. But man, when you're up in the middle of the night and changing a diaper and you can't go back to sleep, that's a good thing to do. You know, like when you're making bottles and that kind of stuff, it's something to do. So that format to me, as portable as it is, the podcast is such a benefit to me. So I love it. And I love being able to do one. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. You know, and I wonder, maybe you could tell me this a little bit, but I wonder if some of the life lessons learned through doing podcasting translates into the way that you parent. Like, I wonder if like, or my hope is that out of doing this and things that I'm learning and growing myself, hopefully I can share those things with my child as yeah. he grows up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when we get a chance to, I mean, just generally speaking, if we talk to someone who's a little further along than us in years and in our interviews and even just the mentors that we have, like I'm asking questions about family. I'm asking questions about how to finish your leadership well and not blow it, you know, halfway in between. You know, I'm thinking about, the cool thing about podcasting is like, you can ask questions that benefit you, but they also benefit your audience.
Right.
You know, and so it might in some ways seem kind of selfish to be asking these questions that you want to know about, but generally speaking, if there are people that in your walk of life or just are interested in the things that you're interested in, you're also serving them in a way, and that's really, really neat. And I think that's why the medium is so popular and such a big deal. And then yeah. there's entertainment and that kind of thing. Like I generally, I'm listening to something that's development oriented, but also I have some entertainment type things that I'm enjoying too.
Right. You know, another thing that struck me the other day thinking about podcasting was that, like kind of like in the same way, like a photograph or a snapshot. Like I don't know, I was looking through old pictures and I saw a picture of my grandpa, and I was like, How much do I miss him, and how much would I love to sit down and like have a conversation with him or hear his thoughts on a subject? And like, really, I mean, with the internet being what it is these days and Spotify and all of this, like really it's going to be on the internet for a very long time. So like, I wonder, I mean, like not that I plan to pass away anytime soon, nobody plans to die, but yeah. I mean like what if my grandpa had a podcast and I could go back and listen to him have a conversation with somebody and like hear his thoughts on things? Like I feel right. like I wonder if in a way like leaving a little bit of a legacy, like maybe not for vanity, you know, because like obviously I don't have anything great to say, but like, you know, like for him, you know, if like for Gavin one day, maybe hearing what we're talking about and like, you know, maybe getting something out of it, you know, or like some of the wisdom that, you know, like there's been lots of times in life where I'm like, man, if my papa was here, I would love to hear his wisdom on this thing that I'm going through, you know?
And that is a really cool thing about the medium is that it lives on beyond us. And if you're asking timeless questions, you're going to get timeless content that could even survive the years, you know. If we're asking about, I mean, there's, you need timely content as well. You know, how do you navigate Zoom calls in the middle of a pandemic? That's important.
Right. But that's very specific.
asking those deeper questions and going after the timeless kind of principles and stuff can benefit you for years and years to come.
Right. So one thing that I really like that you do when you wrap up your podcast, you ask them for their 10% or their bottom line, basically. And not that we're done with this conversation by any means, unless you need to go. But what I was going to say is, if you had like a bottom line to talk about for podcasting in general. So
okay. So
like we talked about leadership, we talked about your ministry, and we talked about podcasting. But so, on a bottom line for podcasting specifically in your hobby, or maybe even like encouraging somebody who's always wanted to do something like this to do a podcast, do you have a bottom line for that? Like any advice for somebody?
I do. And let me give you just, and this is literally not to brag, but let me just give you kind of where our podcast is in the world of just generally in podcasting. So we have like 126 episodes or so. We have, I looked just a minute ago, over 122,000 downloads.
Wow.
Okay, so depending on what your metrics that you're using and who you're kind of listening to, what how you measure a success of a podcast, that puts our podcast, there's over 2 million podcasts that puts us in the world, right? 2 million right. in the world. We're in the top 5 to 10% of podcasts based on our per episode download number and how quickly those downloads come in. And that's without, yeah, dude, it's insane. Like that's without advertising. That's without consistent promotion. It's almost happened almost exclusively word of mouth. Wow. And friends. And part of that, so there's two elements of that. First is we were kind of first to market. There was one podcast that was kind of about college ministry, campus ministry that sort of folded right at the same time as we started. And it was the only one out there. Now today there's a whole lot of them. But we were one of the very few at the time, maybe the only, kind of broadly circulated one at the time. So if you can, the kind of takeaway there is find something that you're passionate about that's not really out there. There's already sort of a need for these kind of conversations. And then also, obviously, something you're passionate about. You don't go, wow, there's no good fishing podcast. I don't fish, but I'm going to start one because there's a need. You don't do that, but find where your passions and the need or the opening sort of align. So that's a big thing. For us is that we were sort of first to market and it was something we were incredibly passionate about. And then also if you're doing something that you're passionate about and you're talking about that thing and you're adding value, you're taking the time to make the content valuable to your listeners. I mean, you could advertise all day long, but if it sucks, nobody's going to consistently listen.
That's true.
So if you put in the time and the energy and you consistently do it, you persevere, and it's something people enjoy, it can continue on. Like people will listen to it, and even without a ton of promotion and a bunch of money being sunk into this thing, like if it's something quality, people will want to listen to it, and they'll share it with your friends, just like Josh, you would do. You know, if you heard about a restaurant that was good in town that opened up, you would tell me about it. If you heard a new band that you thought I would like you would tell me about it.
Right.
And so word of mouth is the best type of advertising you could have. And the fact that we never did really advertise or promote it just helped us understand that this is a word of mouth thing. There's nothing better than it. And for us to be in this top 5 to 10% is just insane. A big piece of that as well is just that our guests have been super gracious to do this for us for free. And they've brought their A game, you know, to the conversation. Like they have a real genuine desire to pour into the people who are our audience. And because of that, you know, like you said, man, I don't have a lot to say as a campus minister. In the grand scheme of things, I'm pretty new at it. But the people that we're talking to, from all different kind of walks of life and all different even kinds of ministry, they have a lot to add to the conversation. And so that has been super helpful for kind of the longevity and the listenability of it, because it's not just me pretending like I know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, you're getting value from people who have lived it. Mm-hmm. I mean, speaking of which, so you've got like a ton of episodes. But the one that I listened to most recently that I got a lot of value out of was episode, I believe it is 119 with Dick Foth.
Yeah.
And so so that episode with Dick Foth, so him and his wife have written a book. It is called
Known, right?
Known, yes.
Yeah, Known.
So I haven't read that yet, but I'm really excited. After hearing you talk with him, I'm like, man, now I have to read the book because this guy has lived an incredible life so yes. far. I mean, in a nutshell, basically he, I mean, I'm going to paraphrase this because I can't get it all, but Dick like grew up in India during British rule, or like at the end of British rule.
Yeah.
And came to the United States through lots of different channels of things that happened. But he ended up being like almost a mentor and kind of a spiritual advisor to like high up people in yeah. Washington D.C.
Yeah, so he's I'll give you just a snapshot too. Like, yeah, grew up as a missionary kid on the mission field in India. Then they ended up coming back to the States. But like the roles that he's had in his life is a pastor, and you know, young pastor, then also a university president, right?
Wow.
And then an advisor to, and like spiritual mentor friend to the heaviest hitters, some of the heaviest hitters in Washington, D.C. Attorney General John Ashcroft was his friend and like was someone that he mentored and helped and that kind of thing. And there are a number of other senators and congressmen and leaders in the government during that season that he was there. And so, yeah, he's had an incredible influence in a ton of different areas. And so I was super honored to be able to connect with him and talk to him. And like he's distilled like a lot of the wisdom that he has into that book, Known, about building relationships and what life is really about is those relationships and those connections.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what a absolute testimony from him, just like the way that all went down. If anybody's interested in that, I think you should check it out. Again, that's the Campus Ministry Leadership Podcast, episode 119 with Dick Foth. I'm not even in campus ministry. Yeah, that's not something that that I'm passionate about or that I do. But I got so much out of hearing him talk about just life in general.
That was one of the episodes for me that was not geared towards campus ministry. It was more of like, hey, let's ask this guy some questions that revolve around timeless wisdom that this guy in his late 70s, maybe early 80s, has learned. And man, wow. I mean, about raising kids, there's stuff there about raising kids, stuff about what it looks like to engage with people with high anxiety, you know, and
right.
Just kind of navigating that and yeah, all kinds of just really, really good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was super enjoyable, and so it makes me feel really bad for not listening to the rest of your episodes yet. But I'll get caught up one of these days. It's definitely good stuff. Maybe one of those diaper changing moments. I'd be like, all right, let's start the podcast. Well, Andrew, dude, thank you so much for your time and for being here with us. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'll just lastly, maybe just in the spirit of your podcast, just encourage your listeners to, I mean, if they're listening, they're probably interested in hobbies and and things that people are passionate about outside of their work. But I can't tell you how beneficial, how life-giving it is to have something that I'm doing. Now, you know, with this podcast, it is kind of related to my work, but it is separate from my work. And I can't tell you what that's been like for me to, you know, as my family has grown, as my time has been shortened, you know, that I have just free time available. I can't tell you how much those pursuing some of those passions, some of those hobbies, some of those things outside of just the grind of work has been so life-giving for me, and finding friends to do it with. So, you know, I love to play disc golf, man. There's nothing better than playing with a friend and just getting out of the house and I think those are the things that kind of keep you sane. If you just jump into the grind and just pursue, you know, the American dream, just pursue success at work, just pursue success at life, and you miss out on just the things that are fun and you can cut loose with, man, you're going to burn out, you know?
Yeah.
And I've seen that with students, man. They don't know how to rest. They're, you know, TCU is a highly competitive academic environment. And so, man, they just get their head down and they just go for it. And they end up a couple years in just tired, burnt out, anxious, unhealthy, you know, all that stuff, and depressed. And so finding those outlets to cut loose and to have fun and to develop a hobby that's outside of, the grind is super important for us. And man, as a Christian, you know, even developing and continue to develop that relationship with Jesus, relationship with God, is such a life-giving thing. It's what I can pull from in the times of the grind and the difficult times that I've kind of been filled up in. And then I have something to pull from, you know, during the times that are hard. So I just encourage people to find those hobbies, find something you enjoy, find people to do it with, to be able to make it through some of the more difficult times.
Absolutely. Yeah. That fun and the community, it having somebody to do those things with, it makes it so much more of an enjoyable social thing. Although yeah. there are some hobbies that people do that are, you know, it's a one man thing, you know, like, yeah. Running, for example. I don't know yeah. anybody who has that hobby, but
I do. And I don't like to run with people. That is like a solitude time for me. Like I like to run and listen to a podcast and be left alone. It's not a conversation.
Right.
But then I also know that I need some friend time. And so that's why this podcast, it sucked when I was doing it by myself, and it's a blast to do with my friend. So you need a little bit of kind of all of those tanks, you know, need to be filled, you know, in your life, the things that you need, the solitude time, the friend time, the family time, like all of those tanks need to be filled and kind of kept in balance. And that's not easy to do. But hobbies are a huge part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think maybe in it, kind of like you're saying, it could come under the category of finding yourself a personal hobby and then finding something that could be a more social hobby. So, people like me who are serial hobbyists who have too many hobbies, I mean, I like doing lots and lots of things, which annoys the crap out of my wife. But I think that at some points you do need to have that as a something for yourself, but also something that you can share with others. And I mean, for those, anybody that is married, you know, maybe try to, I know some people who share a hobby with their spouse.
Yeah.
I've tried that. My spouse she's not into all the nerdy things I am, but.
And if we need to redo it or something, let me know.
That's okay. I mean, but basically what you were saying was that, yeah, I mean, hopefully that's something that we can enjoy together, you know, mm-hmm. with Gavin one day. Mm-hmm. I think that some of those things that I like to do, maybe Sarah won't, but I bet Gavin will love it. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Andrew, thank you again so much for your time, man. I really appreciate you being here on the Seek and Enjoy podcast. As Andrew said, word of mouth is huge. So if you have made it this far into the podcast and you're enjoying it, and I think if you think that it's been adding value to you, please do go ahead and share this with somebody. Talk to somebody. Tell them, you know, maybe if you've learned anything from hearing Andrew and myself have this conversation. So, and to the listener, if you want to seek leadership advice and you enjoy podcasts, please check out the Campus Ministry Leadership Podcast on Spotify. And until next time, this has been Josh Morgan with Seek and Enjoy. Find what makes you happy.